speakers to tonight's speakers.
Thank you. Hi everyone, I'm Roland, I'm an addict. Just thinking as the readings were, people were going through the readings, they should be all set really, because I've got a mic, and I've got everybody's attention in the room. Kind of an ideal sort of situation for me. But not in this instance actually, because when it comes to meetings, whether I'm sharing or doing a chair, I'm never entirely comfortable with the focus of attention because actually what I attempt to do when I come here is tell the truth. Two things I come to meetings for, primarily, is to try and speak the truth, and always I manage to hear the truth. Sometimes, you know, as the meeting goes on, I have a realisation that what I thought was true, what wasn't, you know, that what I believed to be real kind of wasn't real, and that's why I keep coming back to meetings. I've got 15 minutes, and kind of, I was thinking to myself, you know, what do I want to say? And if I was to think of a goal for the next 15 minutes, I only want to achieve one thing. I want to carry a message. That's it, really. I want to try and illustrate in 15 minutes that by coming here, my life has changed beyond, actually, the reason that I came here in the first place. And that means it kind of beyond freedom from addiction and alcoholism. It's given me a kind of freedom to live, you know. It's given me a mechanism, a device to go out every day and live my life and not just kind of get through, but be able to deal with stuff without using, without wanting to use, without the obsession to use, without drinking, and every now and again, actually, without kind of running away, you know, with an ability to, with a kind of courage that I get from others. None of this actually comes from me. It's all stuff that I kind of receive vicariously through sponsorship and through going to meetings and through working a program. But it gives me a freedom, you know, kind of beyond, as I said, active addiction. I suppose what I should also say at the kind of top of this is, if you knew, if there's anyone here that's kind of new, and you might be at your first meeting or your first few meetings, and you're kind of thinking, you know, is this for me? Is it going to help? It's kind of natural to think that. I mean, I sat in my first few meetings actually thinking, this is just not suitable for me, you know, it's not going to work. I don't see how this is going to work. And to that, I suppose I'd say this. It's, you know, if you choose to spend a Friday evening in July in Trafalgar Square at the bottom of a church with a room full of alcoholics and addicts who are kind of all at the drop of a hat going to kind of moan and bemoan the fact that they have various issues, then you kind of need to be here. You kind of need to be here as much as I do. What I kind of get out of this, if I tried to explain to people that weren't other recovering addicts, or indeed actually sometimes other using addicts, seems on the surface of things to be lessons that you should inherently know. You know, I mean, one of the biggest kind of freedoms that I get from going to a meeting is the reminder and the understanding when I leave the room that actually I can't change the way that the kind of world rotates, that I cannot make people think, act or behave the way that I want them to. I cannot always, or very often actually, make the outcome of a situation be the one that I need it to be or think I need to be. These are all kind of basic moral kind of compass things that people I always thought should be born with. And when I first came into recovery, and you know, I asked myself a lot of questions, and I think one of the big questions that I asked myself was, you know, why did I need to use to live? You know, why did I need the cushion of narcotics to enable me to deal with what I perceived to be the kind of relentless pain of life, you know? Why was every issue that I had absolutely 100-fold more painful than anybody else's? You know, there could be two of us in a room. You know, this is my perception of my using. It could be myself and another person in a room, both with the same problem. But I guarantee to you that my problem would be a million times more painful as far as I was concerned. I kind of also guarantee to you that I would be unable to live my life because of the pain of that problem. Whereas the other person, who would be able to kind of get on with things, accept things for what they were and move forward. So to that end, kind of coming here, what I realised, you know, as a kind of crack-addicted heroin addict, was that I needed to find a way to deal with this stuff. Or at the very least, find a way to kind of accept that things kind of didn't always go, or things didn't always pan out for me in a completely painless way. You know, I didn't always move through my life in this kind of wonderful sense of victory and self-worth and self-esteem and, you know, isn't my life so great? And indeed, actually, at times when it was most difficult was when I kind of learnt the most. At times when my life was most difficult during my using, I just took more drugs. I think, when I think about my using, and it's not something I do kind of very often in much detail, but when I do, what I think about is the moment, and the moment actually got shorter and shorter and shorter the longer that I used. What I think about is the moment when the drug actually took effect, and that kind of snapshot, that momentary glance kind of into that respite from life, you know. I found that I was unable to continue my life on its own terms, and that actually the way that I decided that I could best get through my life was actually to kind of retire from it. And that's what I did when I started using drugs, particularly when I started using them on what I like to think of as a kind of professional level. You know, my amateur status didn't kind of last very long. You know, I moved into the Premiership quite quickly, and the reason for that was, you know, it wasn't about tolerance or any of that type of thing. It was because I needed more. Once I found that there was a way to switch off, and I'm not talking about switching off, the type of switching off that you achieve through kind of working the third step and letting go. And you know, I'm talking about switching off by spending money. You know, when I found that I could give someone £10, £20, they could give me something that I could take home that would make me feel not only good about myself, but make me feel like I didn't have to worry about anything. I found that kind of for 10 or 20 quid, initially, not for very long, but in the early stages of my using, rapidly went up numerically, but, you know, for 10 or 20 quid, I could buy myself out of dealing with my stuff. Now, as an addict, I'm going to tell you that that's an unbelievable deal, and that'll be the best 10 or 20 pound that you'll ever spend. The reality is it kind of cost me a lot more than money, as kind of we all know. I mean, any of us sitting here hand on heart who kind of think back to our using it. For me, I don't think about the money that I wasted. And that's quite a nice thing. You know, it's nice to think that actually I've got to a point in my recovery where I'll be that selfless. I actually think more about the damage that I did, firstly, to other people. This is the order that it comes in for me. And secondly, but kind of equally as important, the damage that I caused myself. I had to put myself through a lot of pain to reach a point where I was willing to come in here and get clean. I've got clean twice in my life. First time was when I was quite young. I got clean initially in 1987, and I was clean for quite a number of years. I mean, you know, I was in NA terms at that point. I was, you know, I kind of significant clean time, whatever that is. And that part, that initial part of that. That initial experience with recovery is a really valuable one to me, despite the fact it was punctuated with a relapse. Because that taught me the biggest lesson of all, and that's that you kind of never know this, or I don't. This whole program for me works on a system for reminders, consistent reminders. Because what I learn in here tonight, I'll forget when I walk out the door, or it will become diluted as the day progresses, or as the days progress, and I need to come back and I need to relearn it. I've never found a process or anything that you could study that is least like riding a bike than recovery. You know, you come here and you need to keep coming back. They never really, I mean, as far as you, if I use that analogy, the stabilizers never get removed because I'm never able to kind of free will. And it's when I have that understanding that I feel that my recovery, that's a kind of positive statement really actually, because it's when I understand that and when I accept that, that my recovery is most secure. Because it's kind of around that time that I actually have the reminder or the realisation that I can't do this on my own. And in short, my relapse came about from just that. You know, my story of my relapse, and I'll just kind of rattle you through it really quickly, wasn't one of those where I was going to meetings and I thought, I've had enough of this, I'm going to start taking drugs again. It kind of didn't happen like that for me. What happened was I kind of, you know, I was going to meetings, started going to less meetings, behaviour went, thinking went, principles went, programme went, sponsorship went, and latterly, you know, 2 years after I stopped going to meetings, I started using again, or socially drinking, to coin a phrase. The social drinking was a struggle, actually. It was my experience that it's a lot easier to go back to being a full-blown sort of crack addict than it is to try and drink a pint or two at night. It took an immense amount of work to maintain that kind of one or two pints. And the strain got to me, and I thought, oh, God, this is just too difficult. It's actually easier to use. That relapse cost me, I think it cost me about 12 years. I used for 12 years when I left. I couldn't come back. Couldn't come back because it was too difficult, I thought, to come back because I'd been around. I knew everyone, I had a lot of clean time, I couldn't come back, you know, it was going to be too difficult to do it all again. Recovery is something I told myself that you can only do when you are young, because you need youth on your side to kind of get through it, all of that sort of rubbish. 12 years later I came back into an AA. I rung the same sponsor that I had initially, who's my sponsor again today. I rung him up and said to him, look, you know, I've got a terrible crack problem, I'm considering going to a meeting over the next few months. And he said to me, I will come and get you. It's the first time I'd rung him in 12 years. He said, I'll come and pick you up. We went to a meeting that afternoon over in Primrose Hill and I got clean again. And my life is as good now as it was that first time in recovery. Only in some respects, just for me as an individual, even better, because I know that I need to service my recovery. In the same way as I pay my mortgage, in the same way as I turn up every day and go to work, in the same way as I maintain all of the relationships that I have in my life, which are plentiful now, actually, family, girlfriend, daughter, you know, and so on, friends, this needs constant maintenance. And it's when I have that understanding that kind of things are good. And that's how I kind of feel about them today. I'll just finish on this. You know, I'm kind of really, really, really glad to be clean. And I'm really, really grateful that I've got NA to come to. And, you know, there are times when I sort of sit in meetings because I think, oh, I don't, you know, oh, I'm not that person again, and they're not saying it, and, oh, you know. And it's not a wonderful, it sounds like a very, very big statement to say that I kind of love NA. I do. I'm able to make that statement, you know, because I love it actually unconditional. I don't love everyone in NA, obviously. I mean, I think actually someone said to me once, if you like everyone in NA, you don't go to enough meetings. And I think that's But having said that, you know, everyone, no, irrespective of likes and dislikes, you know, personalities, principles, so on, everyone's got something to offer. And I come here and actually everyone in this room kind of helps me stay well, whether I know them or not. That can't really happen anywhere else. Otherwise I would have found it in the 12 years I was kind of out there trying to find something better. I'll leave it there. Thanks.